Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of AARP Iowa. Real possibilities for people of every age. AARP Iowa and Country Vet Naturals. Loved by pets, trusted by owners. CountryVetNaturals.com.
Last evening, I attended a meeting of the 2020 Book Club. It's a group of people started by the Iowa Democratic Party Vice Chair Andrea Phillips, who reads books written by presidential candidates and then holds an event where they ask questions of the author about the book or really anything else. It is so Iowan. Well, last night, it was Julian Castro, the former Secretary of Housing and Urban Development under President Obama, who met with the 2020 Book Club that now, by the way, numbers in the hundreds. After the event, which was also live-streamed, I was able to ask several questions about business.
Mr. Secretary, grateful that you are back in Iowa again. Good to have you on the Business News Hour. I just got three quick questions. Is that all right?
Definitely ready for it.
All right, let's go. On the 22nd of April, there was a study done through Iowa State University that indicated that Iowa transitioned more counties from Democrat to Republican in 2016 than any other state in the nation. And so these researchers went out and they started to ask people, okay, why did you flip in your county? And they were all rural counties, and those county individuals were saying it wasn't kitchen table issues, it wasn't wages, it wasn't health care, but it was a fear that people who were not like them or of their culture were coming. Mr. Secretary, what do you think about that? And how do you address it?
Well, I think the best thing that we can do is to try and make sure that people understand each other. And so that instead of pitching fear and paranoia and division, that we strive for understanding and compassion and an assurance to everybody that everyone counts and that we're not going to leave anybody behind. It's true that the United States is changing demographically, of course, and it has been for a while. That's nothing new. But the thing is that no matter what the color of one's skin or where they may have come from originally, what's still true is that people believe in those values that have made America the special nation that it is, of hard work, of service to country, of faith, of family. I can attest to that as somebody that grew up with a grandmother who had immigrated from Mexico when she was a little girl, and she worked hard her whole life. She raised a family as a single mom. She made a lot of sacrifices so that her daughter could succeed. And I know that the future of this more diverse America is going to be a positive one for everybody, no matter where they are or what they look like. And so I would just assure folks that we can have a president and a government that is working to bring people together and under those same values that we have all cherished over the generations to make this country more prosperous for everyone.
Here at the 2020 Book Club that was organized in the city of Des Moines at Grandview College, you gave a really strong case for education. And there was a study that was just out again this week that indicates teachers in the United States are paid anywhere from 3 to 34% less than individuals with similar educational requirements. You made a strong case for the federal government getting back into education in a strong way. Can you elaborate on that?
I believe in our public schools. I'm a product of our public schools. I understand that over 95% of our students in this country go to the public schools, and so they are our great hope for ensuring that we have a well-educated generation of Americans. The federal government needs to be a strong partner to ensure that young people can get educated in a strong way, reducing class sizes, paying teachers what they deserve, making sure that the needs of each child can be met in the school that they go to. Also, in improving things like trade programs that will give people gainful employment in auto tech or in welding or in a number of other professions if they're not going to, or trades, if they're not going to go to a college or university. And also in making higher education universal, basically tuition-free public universities, community colleges, and apprenticeship programs.
And all of that comes with a cost, doesn't it?
It does. And that's why we need to reverse the trend of the last 40 years that has expected more and more from people who were middle class and working poor, and less from people at the very top and big corporations. It was revealed a few weeks ago that Amazon made more than $11 billion in profit last year, but they paid zero in federal tax. We need a tax code that rewards, as many people have said, work and not only wealth, and I would pursue that as president.
One final question, if I might, Mr. Secretary. In the Midwestern states, there's eight states that comprise this area. There are currently 340,000 open jobs. There's just not enough people to take those jobs. And I suspect it would be something like the Quest initiative that was in San Antonio, that you would see this public-private partnership. But does immigration now play a role in trying to fill these thousands, hundreds of thousands of jobs that are going wanting?
It does. You know, obviously, we need to make sure that as many job opportunities are available for our fellow Americans as possible. At the same time, it's also true that we need many immigrants because our birth rate is declining. We're an aging nation. We have a record number of baby boomers who are turning 65. They're drawing on Social Security. So for the Social Security Trust Fund to be solvent well into the future, it requires a young, healthy, vibrant workforce. That means that we need a replenishment of immigrants coming to this country. And our unemployment rate is already 3.6%. Right? So if we don't get this right, that means that elderly Americans are going to be hurt because we can't keep up with Social Security. People that are 40 years old or 50 years old now are not going to have the same security in retirement. All of this is linked to immigration. And, you know, and for some people, that's politically incorrect to say, but we do need these immigrants in many different ways. If we're not careful in 20 or 30 years, we're going to be begging immigrants to come to this country to fill that gap.
I would be remiss if I didn't offer you the opportunity to say happy birthday to your mother. Is it her birthday today?
It is. My mother's name is Rosie, and it is my mom's birthday today. She's turning 72.
Nice.
She was born in 1947. And I know that I wouldn't be where I'm at, of course, like so many other people would say about their moms. I believe my mom was just a wonderful mother and raised my brother Joaquin and me as a single mom and always was our biggest believer and supporter and gave us a belief that we were worth it and that we could achieve anything. She was kind of like a guardian angel that was always, or a shepherd that was always ensuring that we were able to do well in school and reach for our dreams. She also was an activist, a hellraiser when she was young on different women's issues and Hispanic empowerment issues.
Ran for office
when she was 23. Didn't win, but always believed in the value of participating in the democratic process, and she passed that along to my brother and me. And so I'm just very grateful, and I'm going to give her a call in a second because it's getting late and I still have not spoken with her.
We'll let you go. Thank you again, Mr. Secretary. We certainly appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you very much.
Once again, that was presidential hopeful Julian Castro of San Antonio. Did you know he was also mayor of that great city? And yes, he was able to get away for a few minutes in private to wish his mom happy birthday. His book? It's called An Unlikely Journey, Waking Up from My American Dream. We'll have links to all of this up on the radio blog. Well, that's a wrap for today. For all of us that put this together each and every day, Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator. Sales and marketing goes to Aaron Libby. The voice of the Business News Hour is Hunter Pease. And the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted for us by our friend James Goodlett from Jam Good Productions. For all those folks and for Secretary Castro, my name is Michael Libby. Have yourself a wonderful evening. Be safe, be well, be careful most of all. Be good to your fellow man. Good day.